Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
Humans alone are worshipers. And listen, all people at all times and in all places worship. There's not a culture, there's not a tribe, there's not a civilization anywhere that you can find where people are not worshipers. All human beings worship.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his series titled, The Story of God. Join us as Pastor Brian begins his teaching on Genesis. We're in chapter 1, verses 26 through 27. This message is titled, The Imago Dei. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
This is really a profound idea that we human beings, out of all of creation, we alone are created as image bearers. We are created in God's image, as we read here in Genesis chapter 1. Believe it or not, the belief that humans were created in God's image is the cornerstone of our civilization. It's the cornerstone very specifically of Western civilization, but it's not limited to Western civilization. But Western civilization has certainly been built on this idea. And it's the idea that human beings have just intrinsically have worth and value and dignity, and are, because of just their being human, they are worthy of respect. This idea is the only objective basis for human rights. Now, we all know about human rights. We all hear about the importance of human rights and our rights, your rights, my rights, everybody's rights. I mean, that is a big, big, big issue in our world today. But the truth is, unless humans are made in God's image and therefore worthy of dignity and respect, based simply on their humanness, then belief in human rights are, as historian, philosopher, and author Yuval Noah Harari says, fictional stories we've invented. So, to make it really simple, what he's getting at, and I'm going to give you the fuller quote in just a moment, but what he's getting at is, and he doesn't believe in God, and he doesn't believe that people are created in the image of God. So what he is saying is that basically human rights, it's just something we invented because it just seems like a good story. But there's no objective basis from which to argue that anybody really does have rights. And so here's what he went on to say. He said, most legal systems in the world today are based on belief in human rights. But what are human rights? Human rights, like God in heaven, are just a story we've invented. They are not an objective reality. They are not a biological fact about Homo sapiens. The only place you find rights is in the stories that we have invented and spread over the last few centuries. They may be positive stories, very good stories, but they are still just fictional stories that we've invented. So this is his view. But this is, he's just being very honest, because again, he is an atheist, so he does not believe that God created anything, doesn't believe there's a God. But he is, as sometimes people will do, he's just being honest that if there is no God, if humans are not created by God and in the image of God, then human rights might sound like a good idea, but it's just something we came up with. We invented it, and therefore it's the opinion of some that humans should have rights, and then others would not necessarily share the opinion, and then it's up for grabs as to whose opinion is right. So if we humans are just the product of naturalistic processes and not created by God in his image, then there is no objective reason to value human life above any other form of life. And it is true then that might makes right. Whoever is the most powerful, they get to make the rules. Or another way to understand it is the survival of the fittest is actually then the law of life. Now, we're going to circle back around to this in a moment, but one of the reasons that I wanted to come back around to the subject, because like I said, we've already done a teaching on it, and it was a great teaching, but I wanted to come back around to this. One of the reasons I wanted to come back around to it is because of my own personal experience of coming to understand the deep theological and practical significance of this doctrine. And this is something that wasn't really there so much on my radar for many years as a Christian and as someone who was in ministry. I went several years failing to see others, especially the difficult and undesirable people around me, through the lens of each and every human being an image bearer. So this was one of those things that just, you know, I had taught the book of Genesis over many, many years of ministry, and I understood that, yes, indeed, we as human beings are created in the image of God, and I would often do, you know, even teachings on what that meant. But the practical significance of it just sort of escaped me. I never really thought much about it. And then there came this moment probably about 15 years ago, and I don't even remember what triggered the moment, and I don't know that it was an instant, but it was a fairly short period of time where suddenly this reality came into focus for me. And as this came into focus, I really began to look at people differently than I previously had. And so here's what changed when that truth dawned on me. Compassion, patience, and hope replaced disdain and indifference. My inclination to condemn and cancel just sort of evaporated over time. Now, you might be thinking, wow, Brian, you were a Christian and a pastor for so long, and you actually didn't like people? I am a human being, just as you are. And yes, I will admit there were difficult people over the years and groups of people that I would think, well, you know, these people are bad. You know, they're sinful. They're harmful to society. And I would interpret them through that lens. And of course, there are bad people, and there is sin, and there are things that are harmful for society, and we'll talk about that in a few weeks. But when I had this fresh understanding of all human beings being created in God's image, it just sort of took the edge off a lot of that. And it enabled me to look at people that I might have had disdain for and been able to look at them with compassion. And to be hopeful that even the worst person, there was a possibility that they could actually change because they were made in the image of God. And then, of course, the redemptive work of Jesus will be the thing that really, you know, brings that image of God back in a person's life. But so this was one of the motivations for me to come back around to this today. If we get hold of this understanding, this will change your life. It changed my life. And I think God wants us to change for the better. And that's what doctrine does. That's what biblical teaching does. It is transformative. It changes us and makes us into the people that God wants us to be. So, having said all of that, we're going to now just sort of walk through this whole idea of being created in the image of God, and beginning with, first of all, just a quick explanation of what that means and doesn't mean. You know, I saw this cartoon. This is quite a few years ago, and it was a cartoon that was mocking the idea. I think it was responding to somebody who was publicly saying that we were created in God's image. And it was a cartoon, and it was a person, an obese man sitting on a couch with beer cans all around him and potato chips all over the floor. And, you know, just like the, you know, a kind of a sad depiction of humanity. And it said underneath it mockingly, created in God's image. And that's what some people think. But to be created in the image of God, first of all, it doesn't really refer to physical likeness. And that was, you know, the fact that this person was extremely overweight and so forth, that's what they were implying. But being created in the image of God, it really doesn't have anything to do with our physical likeness, for God does not possess a physical body. It really refers to our invisible nature. It refers to mainly our personality, or what, and personality, when I say personality, I don't mean like if you're outgoing or if you're, you know, more of an introvert or if you're funny or you're very serious, not personality in that sense, but just what we are as people. To have personality, one must possess knowledge, feelings, and a will. So that's what I mean when I say personality. This is the way in which we're created in the image of God. We have knowledge, as God has. We have feelings, and we have a will. And so this is mainly, when we think of being created in the image of God, we need to think of it in the sense of that invisible aspect of our lives. Now, some have and still continue to insist that there isn't really any difference between, say, humans and the animal world. And oftentimes there are attempts to compare humans most frequently with apes, because the theory of the evolutionist is that we evolved from apes. And so we've all heard that before. We've all seen perhaps, charts that have the evolution of the ape to finally into what we know as modern man. So we're familiar with all of that. But there is, I think, if you just stop and think about it, even though there are some very fascinating things about animals, they are a far cry from those created in the image of God. One writer put it this way. He said, "We can say that animals possess a certain kind of personality, but an animal does not reason as humans do. It only reacts to certain problems or stimuli. It does not create. It only conforms to certain behavior patterns, even in as elaborate a pattern as constructing a nest, hive, or dam. It does not love. It only reproduces. It does not," here's the big one, "it does not worship." Personality, in the sense we are speaking of here, is something that links humans to God, but does not link either humans or God to the rest of creation. And so as much as we at times will see in animals things that, you know, make us, you know, just think for a moment, this animal's like almost human. My favorite thing on Instagram are the animal, the little clips of various animals. And I was watching this one, I think it was yesterday, and it's a gorilla, and the gorilla is sitting in his cage. He's just sitting there, as gorillas do. They look like they're just thinking all the time, you know. And he's just sitting there, and then a young gorilla comes in and just sort of sits there at a distance from him also. And the next thing you know, the young gorilla sort of takes a swipe at the adult gorilla. And then they start this game And basically, it's the dad and the son wrestling. That's what they end up doing. And you look at that and you think, wow, I've done that with my sons. We wrestled. So, you know, sometimes you see in animals, you see this like, well, there are traits that are almost human. Now, Cheryl and I have a dog. We've talked about him publicly. His name is Barnabas. And he's a golden doodle. And he is smart as anything. He is brilliant. We're convinced he doesn't even know he's a dog or think he's a dog. He just thinks he's one of us. He doesn't like dogs. He doesn't want to associate with dogs. He basically just wants to hang out with us. And sometimes I fall into the trap of thinking that he's human too. You know, it's kind of easy because, you know, there's so many things I can just say to him, like I would say to another person, do this or don't do that, or and he'll do it. But then just at that moment where I'm maybe getting a little far out with this idea that he's almost human, I will say the most elementary, basic thing to him, and he just looks at me like, I have no idea what you're talking about. And then I realize, okay, he is a dog. Yes, he's still a dog. Does anybody else have this experience with their pet? I hope so. So, personality. This is where we see the image of God, but also in certain things that we do. Now, think about human creativity. Now, we mentioned a moment ago that there are animals who are able to construct nests. Of course, birds do that. And it's fascinating what birds do, or even insects, like a wasp constructing a nest, you know, made out of the mud. And you think of a beehive, you think of a dam that a beaver makes and all of that. So you know, you think that there seems to be some sort of creative element in animals. But then if you just for a second stop and just realistically make a comparison, there is absolutely no comparison. And I think one of the most clear indicators that humans are created in God's image and no other creatures are, is our creativity. It is just astounding what people have created over the centuries. I mean, think about it. Think about the magnificent structures that have been built over the centuries. I mean, think about the pyramids and how long ago they were built, or the Sphinx that was there in Egypt back in those ancient days. And you can go there and they're still there. Or think about maybe a grand palace or some of these just amazing temples around the world, or the Gothic churches around Europe. You know, many times I would stand at the base of, say, the York Minster and just looking at the structure and thinking, how in the world did they build this thing in the 12th century? It's astounding. And so we see that, and we are surrounded by this. And think of bridges, so many beautiful bridges. Think of that bridge in London that crosses the Thames, often called the London Bridge, but it's actually not the London Bridge. It's the Tower Bridge, and it's identified by the towers that are on it. You can see it. You've seen that picture of that bridge. But to go under that bridge, maybe in a little boat, or to stand beside it, or to stand on top of it and look at it, you think, wow, who had the idea to make this thing like this? It's amazing. So many of these kinds of things that we could point to, and then not to mention more modern types of things, cars, airplanes, space shuttles, electronic gadgets of every sort, computers, robots. I saw this image the other day of this guy standing, and he's standing, and he's surrounded by all of this electronic equipment. I mean, like hundreds of pounds of electronic equipment. Like you would have to have a little truck to get all of this equipment from A to B. And it said underneath, today, all of this fits in your pocket. And I thought, wow, it's so true. And this is what we've been able to do. Human beings do this. Why do we do this? Well, we're creators. Why are we creators? Because in the beginning, God created, and he created us in his image. And then, of course, there are so many other things. We could talk about poems and plays and songs and paintings and all of these types of things. You know, I've been reading The Lord of the Rings by J.R.R. Tolkien. And this guy created a whole world. It is unbelievable. He created a whole world. He created all of these characters and all of these places and these events and these conversations. As I'm reading the book, the story is fascinating. Most of us know it from the films. But in reading the book, I'm thinking, this all came out of some guy's brain. How does this even happen? Remember, maybe you do remember a few weeks ago, we were talking about God being the creator, and I quoted C.S. Lewis, who said, God created the universe just like a man creates out of his own mind a story or a painting. And so we, unlike the rest of creation, are creators. Civilization is man's creation and a proof of his being created in the intellectual image of God. Now, humans are moral as well. Humans are moral. The great distinction between right and wrong belongs to mankind alone. And that's obvious. If you observe the animal world, you will see very quickly that world is indeed red in tooth and claw. And the animals aren't feeling guilty about it. This is just the way it is. They have no concept of right or wrong. Charles Darwin himself noted that this was quite a hurdle in light of his theories about who people are and where we came from. He said, I fully subscribe to the judgment of those writers who maintain that of all the differences between man and the lower animals, the moral sense or conscience is by far the most important. This sense is summed up in the short but imperious word ought. So full of high significance, it is the most noble of all the attributes of man. Only human beings have this idea that we ought or ought not to have done or do certain things. Exclusively a human idea. And again, it shows the moral nature that we inherited because we are created in the image of God. And then, as we mentioned a moment ago, no other life form is spiritual in the sense of there's no place in the animal kingdom that you find worship taking place. Although we share a body with such forms of life as plants or flowers and a soul with animals, only humans possess a spirit. It is on the level of the spirit that we are aware of God and commune with him. Humans alone are worshipers, and listen, all people at all times and in all places worship. There's not a culture, there's not a tribe, there's not a civilization anywhere that you can find where people are not worshipers.
Back to Basics Radio is offering a book titled The Powers of Darkness and the People of God by Pastor Brian. With all the chaos, unrest, and uncertainty in our world, behind it all is an unseen realm where a spiritual battle is being waged. And this spiritual battle not only affects the world collectively, but even our lives individually. This month's book, The Powers of Darkness and the People of God by Pastor Brian, will give you an understanding of the battle that is raging behind the scenes. You will understand the enemy who is waging war against you, his tactics, and how you can be equipped to emerge victorious. As people of God, we must be aware of the spiritual battle we're all involved in, the sophisticated ways in which we're constantly being attacked, and the provision for victory we have in Jesus. If you want to be equipped for the spiritual battle we're engaged in, or to be able to help others become equipped, we encourage you to call us right now. at 1-800-733-6443 or visit us online at backtobasicsradio.com to order The Powers of Darkness and the People of God by Pastor Brian. And when you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you this book as our way to say thank you. We do appreciate your generous support of this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll continue next time with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together the Story of God series. Back to Basics is the listener-supported preaching and teaching ministry of Pastor Brian Brodersen.